Hare Krishna. I sincerely welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple for Sunday festival. My very sincere gratitude to all of the assembled devotees. In Bhaktivedanta Hospital, one wonderful devotee, Stoka Krishna Prabhu, spoke this morning for Srimad Bhagavatam class over sound system. Although he is in a physical condition, being racked by the pangs of cancer, terminal disease, he expressed his joy and his gratitude for all of the blessings that he has received in life. The blessings of the association of devotees, the service of the Lord, the holy name of the Lord. And there is no power within this material creation that could ever take those gifts away from a sincere devotee. One who has that gratitude, who has that sense of love and devotion to Krishna, is actually a person who possesses real wealth and real health. And sometimes Krishna puts special souls like Stoka Krishna Prabhu in such a situation, not only for some inconceivable type of purification, but also to show us what we have in life, how much we take for granted, and what really is meaningful to a devotee. So today, for the pleasure of Stoka Krishna Prabhu, I'm going to speak about a very great devotee. We told some of these stories during our South Indian Yatra. But Stoka Krishna Prabhu, who is listening now, out of my love for you, I'm going to speak these stories again. In Sri Rangam, which was the capital of Sri Vaishnavism, in all of South India, Ramanujacharya was giving a lecture. He was speaking on the Divya Prabandhams by Nam Alwar. Therein it glorifies the holy places. Sri Rangam is called Bhoga Mandapam, which means in Sri Rangam the Lord especially enjoys nice bhoga and distribution of his prasad to his devotees. Kanchipuram is known as Tyaga Mandapam. Varadraj Swami appeared through tapasya, and he especially finds great pleasure performing sacrifices for the welfare of his devotees. Tirupati is Pushpa Mandapam. He finds great pleasure there, being ornamented by wonderful flower garlands and tulsi leaves by his devotees. So while glorifying Sri Tirupati, Ramanujacharyam, in great enthusiasm, he called out to the assembled devotees, "Is there anyone amongst you who is willing to leave this place and go to live in Tirupati and make a garden for Balaji and serve flowers to the Lord for the rest of your life?" There was complete silence, because at that time, this is approximately 800 years ago, Tirupati was not so modern as today. It was a dense jungle on top of a high mountain with utterly no conveniences for physical comfort, surrounded by wild animals, very cold in the winters. And not only that, besides the terrible physical difficulties of living there and dangers, Ramanujacharya is living in Srirangam. Who wants to leave his lotus feet? He's giving his association, giving his classes every day. Thus, there was total silence. Then one devotee of the name Anantacharya raised his hand, and with great humility and submission, he called out, "Gurudev, if it is your desire that I go to Tirupati and remain there for the rest of my life growing flowers for Balaji, then I will go today with your blessings." Sripad Ramanujacharya was so satisfied with this disciple, he got up, embraced him, and expressed, "Of all men, you are the greatest, because of your willingness to make sacrifice for the service of the Lord." He conquered the heart of his guru by his willingness to serve. Anantacharya walked many days from Srirangam. Then he climbed the several hills of Tirumala. And he and his wife excavated out of the jungle a beautiful garden where he grew tulsi and aromatic flowers for the pleasure of the Lord. Every day, he would pick those flowers and make garlands and personally offer them to the deity. He also felt that Balaji should have a nice tank or small lake next to his garden. So he dug a lake. He named the garden Ramanuja Garden, and he named the lake Ramanuja Lake. Pukur. After some time, he thought the lake should be deeper and wider. So with his spade, he was digging, putting the dirt in a bucket, carrying it to the end of the lake where he gave it to his wife. She put that bucket on her head, and she carried it some distance away, emptied it, and brought it back. Balaji or Venkateshwar, wanted to help his devotee. Balaji wanted to serve his devotee. And it was difficult for Balaji to seeing this husband and wife working so hard only for his pleasure. So Balaji assumed the form of a brahmachari boy of the Brahmin caste. He approached Anantacharya. That, please, dear sir, I am young and I am very fit. Let me help you to dig this lake. Anantacharya said, no possibility of this. You are young. Your body is very fragile. You should enjoy life. You should play, chant the names of the Lord and be happy. This hard work is for someone like me. The boy was insisting, please, please, allow me to help. Anantacharya said, this is my service. This is the order my Guru Maharaj has given me. And it's my service to the Lord. I have nothing else in life. It's my only wealth. It's my only health. It's my only nourishment. You can take anything away, but you cannot take away my service. If you want to serve the Lord, go anywhere else, do anything else, but leave me alone. That is final. So Venkateshwar was very much disappointed. He tried again. It was really causing pain to his heart, because Anantacharya's wife, although she was so happy doing her service, she was pregnant, carrying a child. So the boy approached secretly his wife and said, please let me help you to carry these buckets. Wife said, no, no possibility. You heard what my husband already said to you. What will he do if he finds out? He said, he'll never find out. There's no way he'll find out. What you should do is you should carry the dirt on your head until he can't see anymore. Then I'll take it. I'll carry it the rest of the way and bring it back, and then you could carry the empty bucket back for Anantacharya. And he'll never know. You have to let me do this. How could you carry all this dirt when you're carrying a baby within your womb? It's not right. He spoke so charmingly. She agreed. Anantacharya, with a spade, dug in the ground, filled up the bucket, carried it a distance, gave it to his wife. As he was digging again, she was emptying it in a distant place. But halfway, Krishna took the bucket, went the distance, emptied it, and brought it back. After some time, Anantacharya was suspicious. He inquired from his wife, how is this? It's taking you half the time to bring the bucket than all the days previously. How are you doing it like this? She said, my dear husband, you know that brahmachari? He convinced me to do. He's taking. He became so upset. He picked up his spade just to scare this brahmachari and chased after him. And Lord Narayan, in the disguise of a brahmachari, ran away. He was chasing. And Anantacharya was right behind him. Stop, stop, I will punish you. And the little boy climbed up a tree. And he called down to Anantacharya, I have this beautiful golden dhoti and nice jeweled earrings. I'll give them to you if you just don't punish me and let me go. Anantacharya was thinking, I will tell him like this, and then he'll come down, and then I will punish him. He said, yes, yes, you come down. I will not punish you. So the little Brahmin boy came down, and as soon as he touched the ground, Anantacharya started running toward him, and the Brahmachari ran away. And Anantacharya, just to scare him, threw his spade off to the side of where the boy was, just so that the boy would see it and become afraid. But inconceivably, the boy ran in such a zigzag way that he ran right where the spade was falling, and it scratched his chin, making him bleed. Then the boy ran to the temple, Balaji's temple, and ran around the temple to his left side. Usually you do to your right side, but Krishna in his own temple, there's no rules and regulations for him. And then he ran inside the temple and closed the doors and locked it from inside. This took place in the afternoon. Evening came about. The pujari came. Anantacharya said, there's a small boy that's on the altar hiding. You better open it immediately. So with great difficulty, they opened the door. And there was only the deity of Balaji with blood on his chin. Then Anantacharya understood that little boy was Balaji himself coming to do seva for his devotee. Coming to give comforts to his devotee. So he started crying. My whole life is to give pleasure to the Lord, and I have made the Lord bleed. He was begging forgiveness from the Lord. Balaji spoke to him. He said, I am so very pleased with you. So pleased with your deep attachment to serving me and pleasing me. So deeply pleased by your desire to carry out the order of your Gurudev. He said, I want to give you my earrings and my cloth as a gift. Meanwhile, Anantacharya, seeing the blood on the Lord's chin, he made a concoction of herbs and camphor as a medicinal balm and applied it to the Lord's chin. And the Lord spoke that in honor of Anantacharya, for all time to come, this camphor and herbs should be put on my chin, for the whole world will never forget the unique devotional service of my devotee. To this day, we find Balaji, not only does he have a special sacred mixture between his eyes and his forehead, but also his chin. And once a year, there's a festival where they take the deity out of the temple, the Utsav Murti, and they circumambulate the temple left side in honor of the Leela of the Lord running away from his devotee in transcendental love. Ramanujacharya was so pleased with Anantacharya that he decided to take the long journey by foot with his disciples to Tirupati just to see his devotee. On the way, as they were approaching Tirumala, there was a simple sudra who was drawing water from a well. Ramanujacharya asked, which is the way to Tirupati? The sudra didn't say a word. Simply with a motion of his hand, he pointed the direction. Ramanujacharya then offered his prostrated obeisances in full dandavat to the Shudra. This really surprised not only the Shudra, but all of Ramanujacharya's disciples. They all inquired from him, why are you repeatedly bowing down to this simple man drawing water from the well? Ramanujacharya, with such sincere humility in his heart, he replied that he has shown me the way to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Therefore, he is my spiritual master. When he came to Tirupati, he refused to climb the mountain. He remained on the bottom, speaking of the glories of Lord Vishnu. After some days, Anantacharya came down. He said, Gurudev, please come up for the darshan of Balaji and see the wonderful garden that we have made for him. Sripad Ramanujacharya replied, I am very sinful and I am very fallen. I cannot put my feet on that sacred mountain. It is holy. It is Vaikuntha Loka. It is none different than Ananta Shesha. How can a fallen soul like me walk upon such a sacred object? Following in the footsteps of great acharyas of the past, I will remain on the bottom and offer my love and prayers to the Lord on the top of the hill. Anantacharya replied, Gurudev, if you don't go up that mountain because you are so fallen, then no one will ever go up that mountain again. I cannot go back up. If you are so fallen that you cannot step on, how can I step on? Not only now, but all generations in the future. No one will be there to serve Balaji unless you set the example. Ramanujacharya thought, for the service of Balaji, I will go. But it is said by some that he climbed up on his knees as to not touch with his feet. Now today, to go to the top of the mountain, seven mountains you have to climb, it is 3,800 steps. But in those days, there were no such steps. It's just walking or crawling through the jungles to the top. While he was there, he didn't want to in any way defile the sanctity of the place. So he fasted, so that he wouldn't have to respond to nature's calls in such a holy place. And after one day, when he was about to leave, actually something happened when he just arrived. After a long, arduous climb up this mountain, when he finally reached the top, one of his most beloved spiritual masters, Sri Shailapurna, came to greet him with garlands and prasad. Now, Sri Shailapurna was disciple of Yamunacharya. He was also Ramanujacharya's mother's brother, his uncle. And it was he that gave Ramanuja the name Ramanuja, which is the name of Lakshman, the brother of Ram. So from a material point of view, of etiquette, he was maternal uncle, and from a spiritual point of view, he was a spiritual master. Ramanujacharya was feeling very much embarrassed and ashamed that, Gurudev, you have taken so much trouble to come all this way just to welcome me. Why? Why have you done this? Why didn't you send a junior neophyte devotee to greet me and offer me this garland and prasad? Sri Shaila Purna with very great sincerity. He replied to Ramanujacharya. He said, I know that it is the proper etiquette for me to have sent a junior devotee to come and greet you on my behalf. But I looked and I searched in all the four directions of Tirumala, and I could not find a single person who is junior to myself. I could not find a single person who is more neophyte in devotional service than me. Therefore, I had no alternative but to come to deliver this prasad personally. The devotees were struck with wonder to see the humility of Sri Shaila Purna. After one day, Ramanujacharya was about to leave, but Sri Shaila Purna told him, according to the Shastras, you're supposed to stay here 3 days. So he stayed 3 days, fasting, not even responding to nature's calls. And after 3 days, Ramanujacharya approached Balaji and said, please, with your permission, let me go down to the bottom of the hill. And Balaji spoke to him. He said, I have given you my southern home in Sri Rangam. That is where you will reside. And I bless you this. Whoever you want to send back home, back to Godhead in Vaikuntha, that person I will accept. Ramanujacharya, every day, spent his day with Anantacharya doing seva for the deities. And how his heart was swelling with pride and joy to see the wonderful devotional service Anantacharya was performing. He came down the hill, and there Sri Shaila Purna instructed him in Ramayana for 1 full year. Something wonderful. Ramanujacharya had such exalted disciples. He was the acharya of the whole sampradaya. So deeply learned, pure, and powerful in his spiritual qualities, that the best people of society were surrendering their lives to him. And yet, he was sitting at the feet of a senior Vaishnav, Sri Shaila Purna, for 1 year, submissively and humbly learning Ramayana in 24 different ways. When it was time for him to leave, Anantacharya was weeping. Gurudev, I don't know if I'll ever see you again in my life. Sri Rangam is very far away. And now that I have the responsibility of this garden, I cannot go anywhere. How will I survive in separation? He asked Ramanujacharya his permission if he could make a deity of his guru and worship that guru as the physical presence. Ramanujacharya did not say anything. The deity was made, and Sripad Ramanujacharya embraced the deity, and in doing so, invested his personal presence within that form. And to this day, to the left side of Balaji, in Sri Tirupati, is that original first deity of Ramanujacharya ever to be made in honor of the loving devotional service of Anantacharya. One day he was picking tulsi leaves in his garden to make a garland for the Lord. As he was plucking the tulsi leaves, a venomous cobra struck him, penetrated his skin, and injecting venom within the body of Anantacharya. But Anantacharya didn't think anything of it. He just went on with his service of picking the tulsi leaves. But the disciples saw what happened. The disciples of Anantacharya were very much concerned. They pleaded with their guru that please take medical treatment. This is a cobra. You may die. The poison is in your blood. Please take some medical treatment. But he ignored them. He was so absorbed in his service, he didn't care anything for medical treatment. So the disciples, not knowing what to do, in tremendous anxieties, they ran to Balaji and told him exactly what happened. After some time, Anantacharya had completed a beautiful full tulsi garland and came to offer it personally to Sri Venkateshwar. And the deity spoke to him. He said, "My dear devotee, you have been struck by a venomous cobra. Are you not going to do anything to treat yourself?" Anantacharya, with tears of humility in his eyes, replied, "My dear Lord, which poisonous snake are you talking about? There is a vicious, poisonous cobra in my heart that has injected the poison of false pride, ego, and greed. And there's another little cobra that has bit my body. The cobra that bit my body, his poison, all it could do is kill this body. It cannot touch my soul. But that venomous snake in my heart, his poison can destroy my very soul. Which is a priority to treat first?" "And my Lord, you are the only doctor that can cure me of the poison of the serpent of false ego. Therefore, I am taking shelter of you through my devotional service." The Lord, hearing Anantacharya, spoke with great emotion. He said, "My dear devotee, I'm very much attached to your living here with me. What if you die of this poison? What about me? Don't you care about me, what I want?" Anantacharya, he said, "My Lord, I am a serpent emanating so much poison. Due to ego and greed, if the poison of this little serpent that has bitten me is stronger than the serpent of ego in my heart, then I will die. And I will take my bath in the Braj River, and then I will serve you in Vaikuntha, in your original form as Vaikunthanath. And if the serpent that has been bitten is more powerful than the certain serpent that just bit me, then it cannot kill me. I will live. I will take my bath in Swami Pushkarini, and I will carry on my service of bringing Tulsi garlands and flowers to you every day throughout my life. In either case, I will always be in your service. I want nothing else. In life or in death, please, my Lord, just accept me as your humble servant. The Lord was so pleased with the devotional attitude of Anantacharya. And by the Lord's grace, he did not die. He carried on as a simple gardener, bringing the fruits of his work as offerings to the Lord. Anantacharya decided to take some of his disciples on a trip to the southernmost part of India on a pilgrimage to perform some duties. So they walked down from Tirumala Hill, walked a long distance for several days. On the banks of a river, they stopped because they were very hungry for prasad. They had prasad of Balaji that they had brought from Tirupati. When they opened the container of prasad, they saw so many ants swarming on top of the prasad. When Anantacharya saw that, he said, "Pack up the prasad again. We're returning home." They did not know what's happening. They walked all the way back, then climbed all the seven hills of Tirumala. They came to the top. Ananteshwar, Anantacharya, he said, "Please give me the packages of prasadam." And he left them all there on the top of the hill. He said, "Now let us go on our pilgrimage to South India." They were bewildered. After some walking, they asked, "Why? We walked many days, then we walked all the way back, and now we're going again? We don't understand what you're doing, Gurudev." And he said, "According to the prayers of the great souls, great devotees, they are praying for the opportunity to have some service in the holy place of Tirupati. They are praying even for the birth of an animal or an insect or any species where they can have the darshan in the service of the Lord. So it is my opinion that all of those ants are great rishis who, in answer to their prayers, they were born and raised in Tirupati. And what is our position to take them away from that holy place? Therefore, I brought them back with great respect, and now we can go on our trip." Lord Chaitanya prayed, "Amanina mana dena." What is the quality of a real Vaishnav? One who offers all respects to all living beings and does not expect respect for oneself. That is a devotee, by Krishna's calculation. One day, Balaji, the deity in the temple, told Pujari, "Please bring Anantacharya immediately to see me." So the Pujaris ran to where Anantacharya was doing his seva of making garlands for the Lord out of the tulsi leaves that he had just collected. And they said, "Balaji spoke to us. He wants to see you immediately. Please come now." He continued making his garland. for several hours. When the garland was complete, he returned to the temple to offer it to Balaji. Balaji asked, "Hours ago, I specifically called for you immediately, and it's taken you hours to come. I am the supreme lord of the universe. What right do you have to disobey my order?" Anantacharya spoke from his heart. He said, you ordered me to come immediately. But my Guru Maharaj, Sri Ramanujacharya, he ordered me to make this garland for you every day. And if I would have come, I would not have been able to make this garland for you today. The order of my spiritual master is the priority of my life. I am only here because of his order. You are only accepting my services because of his grace. Therefore, if anything, including your own order, is an obstruction to carrying out the order of my spiritual master, I must give priority to serving the words of Sri Gurudev. Balaji then said that I have the power to send you away from this place if you don't follow my instruction. And Anantacharya replied that I am only here by the grace of my Gurudev. I can only receive your mercy through the grace of my Gurudev. And besides that, my Lord, your home is Vaikuntha. You came here from Vaikuntha to have Leelas with Padmavati and Sri Devi. Similarly, my home was Sri Rangam, but I came here from Sri Rangam. So this place is neither your home or my home. This is the home of Bhuvaraha Dev. We are both guests. Therefore, neither of us has any legal right to tell the other to leave. And Balaji was very happy to hear the sweet words of loving exchange from his devotee. After Sripad Ramanujacharya disappeared from this world, he was 125 years old when he left. At that time, Ramanujacharya personally installed the son of Kuresh, Parasarabhatir, as the successor acharya of the whole Sri Sampradaya. So in Sri Rangam, one very sincere devotee asked Parasarabhatir, "What are the symptoms of a true Vaishnav?" Parasarabhatir replied that if you really want to know the answer to that question, you should go to Tirumala and ask Anantacharya. He will give you the perfect answer. Now, in those days, it wasn't that he just sent an email off. Sri Rangam to Tirupati, it's a long walk. How many days? Some weeks. Several weeks of walking. And then he climbed the seven hills. And he fell humbly at the lotus feet of Anantacharya. And with folded hands, he said, that Parasarabhatir, my Guru Maharaj, he has instructed me to ask a question of you. Anantacharya asked, what is your question? Please tell me, what are the symptoms of a true devotee? Anantacharya, who's appeared to not be paying so much attention, and he asked again, what did you say? He said, please answer this question. What are the symptoms of a true devotee? Anantacharya did not say a single word. He just went on with his devotional service. This devotee was thinking that I'm not qualified to receive the answer. I'm not humble enough. I didn't ask submissively. Therefore, I am not receptive to the proper answer. So let me remain here and purify myself by doing service until the day that Anantacharya feels that I am qualified to hear his words. He went on doing very simple menial service for 6 months. At that time, there was an utsav, a big feast, and Anantacharya was organizing, feeding all the Vaishnavas and so many other people nice prasad. This devotee was sitting in the line waiting for prasad. Anantacharya said to him, stand up and serve. You can eat in the next batch. So he served all the people. Then in the next line, he sat down to take prasad. Anantacharya said, stand up, serve. You could eat with the next line. So he served. Then he sat down. Get up, serve. You can eat with the next line. The whole day he was serving, until he was the very last person to take prasad after everyone else had taken. Then Anantacharya called for him. He said, 6 months ago you asked me a question. What is your question? Please instruct me. What are the symptoms of a true Vaishnava? Anantacharya, in a very matter-of-fact way, he spoke, a real Vaishnav is like a crane, is like a cock, is like salt, and is like you. Did not say another word. This poor devotee could not understand anything he had just heard. 6 months of doing seva, and that's the answer. He didn't understand a word of it. There was nothing else for him to do. So he returned to Sri Rangam. When he met Parasarabhatir, Parasarabhatir asked, did you ask your question to Anantacharya? He said, yes, I did. What was the answer? He said, I'm bewildered. I cannot understand his answer. I asked him, what are the qualities of a true devotee? And all he said is, a true devotee is like a crane, a cock, salt, and you. Can you explain what this means? Parasarabhatir, by his intimate relationship with Anantacharya, very, very deeply knew his heart. He smiled, and he said, I will explain his answer. What are the qualities of a crane? The color of a crane is pure white. Similarly, the heart of a real devotee is clean. No lust, envy, pride, greed, anger, illusion. These are all dark spots in people's hearts. But a devotee's heart is like a swan, a paramhamsa. It is pure, pure goodness. Another quality of a crane is he stands on one leg in the water and watches for something to eat. The crane, with great attention, is looking down. So many small fish are swimming by, and he ignores them. But as soon as a big fish comes by, he feasts on that big fish. Similarly, a true Vaishnav does not have any interest to hear from mundane people who are like little fish. He's always focused, waiting to hear Hari Katha from the Mahatmas who are like big fish. And a devotee is eager to feast on the wisdom and the bhakti of the words of the great souls, and does not waste his or her time hearing the prajalpa, the unwanted, unnecessary talking of mundane little fish people. Another quality of a crane is during the monsoon season, he goes away from the sea because he knows it may flood, and goes to some tank or pukur. In the same way, a true Vaishnav, when he sees a particular atmosphere is being over flooded by materialistic people engaging in materialistic activities and speaking all kinds of materialistic, egoistic words, that devotee leaves that place and goes to the place of Sadhu Sangam, where the glories of the Lord are heard and the names of the Lord are chanted. A true Vaishnav, Parasarabhata continued, is like a cock. The cock, male chicken, he will go even to the garbage heap or the dustbin where there's all kinds of refuse and search for some seeds of nourishing food and take only that. Relish it and feed it to his children. In the same way, a devotee is saragrahi. A devotee is one who is always after the essence, is not concerned with the rubbish and the garbage of this world. A devotee is always looking for the essence, always looking for nectar. Srila Prabhupada gave a similar example that a devotee is like a honeybee, always seeking the nectar of the flower. Even in a filthy place, only concerned with that nectar. But a crow, even in a beautiful flower garden, is not concerned with any of the fragrant flowers, but is eager simply to find some garbage. A fly, if you have a healthy body, the fly is looking for any infection to suck on. So a materialistic person is very much eager to hear the faults and the criticisms of others. Very eager for gossip and prajalpa and mundane activities. But a devotee, even in a place where all of this is happening, a Vaishnava is looking for the essence, looking for Krishna, looking for the opportunity to serve Krishna, to remember Krishna, and to please Krishna. A true devotee is like salt. Within a preparation, if there's too much salt or too little salt, the preparation is not pleasing. So similarly, a Vaishnav is balanced. Krishna explains in Gita, this path is not for one who eats too much or eats too little, drinks too much or drinks too little. Person who is regulated, who is balanced. Srila Prabhupada explained in this regard that philosophy without religion is simply mental speculation. And religion without philosophy is either sentimentalism or fanaticism. And we see so much of these unfortunate conditions in the world today, even in the name of religion. But the balance of philosophy and the devotional sentiment of religion creates the atmosphere where real love, prema, can grow within the heart. A devotee is strict with him or herself. A devotee knows when to be strict and when to be very lenient and compassionate to others. A Vaishnav is a perfectly balanced person, like proper salt within a preparation. And that makes him pleasing to Krishna. Another quality of salt, please listen carefully, is that although it is the salt that gives flavor to the preparation, the salt remains invisible. No one praises the salt. If we have nice sabji or nice savory, which I'm sure all of you are waiting for prasad, how many of you, when you taste a wonderful preparation, you say, oh, how delicious is this salt? You'll praise the vegetables, you'll praise the spices, you'll praise the cook, you'll praise everything, but nobody ever says anything about the salt. A Vaishnava is like that salt. A devotee wants to do everything, but does not want credit, does not want honor, does not want respect. A devotee has no ambition to be seen by the world as a significant person. A devotee simply wants to perform his or her service with heart and soul and prefers to just remain unknown and invisible in the background and let all credit and all glory go to other Vaishnavas and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is quality of salt. Gives the flavor, but doesn't want to enjoy the fruits. Does not want position or prestige. Simply wants service. Another quality of salt is the salt, in order to make the preparation taste nicely, dissolves and loses its identity in the preparation. Similarly, a devotee is willing to sacrifice his or her existence to give pleasure to the Vaishnavas. This is the glorious quality of salt. Parasarabhatta then concluded, he also said a true Vaishnava is like you. Because when you were sitting there that day waiting for prasad, and Gurudev said, get up and serve, you got up and served. For the whole day you were serving, tolerating your own hunger, tolerating your own thirst, just to try to make others happy. This is the quality of a devotee. Selfless service. Or as Lord Chaitanya has said, Trinadapi suniche na taror ibasi hishnuna. Amani na mana dena kirtaniya sadahari. Humility like grass. Tolerance like tree. Offering all respect to others without intention of receiving respect for oneself. It is only in this spirit that we can truly please Krishna as we constantly chant his holy name. After 6 months of performing seva, this devotee had his question perfectly answered in his heart. One time, a disciple of Parasarabhatta had just taken sannyas, and he was going to see his Gurudev. But on the way, he passed through the place where Anantacharya was performing his seva. Anantacharya saw him in saffron with danda as sannyasi. So what have you done? What is this sannyas? He says, your Guru Maharaj is a grihasta. He's a wife. He has a wife and he has children. Your Guru Maharaj is a very humble person. What if he does not allow you to do personal service for him? Grihastas generally do not want sannyasis to do personal service from him. What is important? Is sannyas important? Or is your service to your guru important? Parasarabhatta made Krishna consciousness so simple. As simple as this. If you're hot and perspiring, you take bath. If you're hungry, you eat. So similarly, you just perform your humble menial service and chant the holy names of the Lord. That's all that's required. Now how will you serve your guru? You're a sannyasi, he's grihasta. And you're just going through the whole ordeal of taking sannyas was such a complicated effort. And now there are so many complications you have to live with. We are not concerned with our position in Varnashram. We are only concerned with the opportunity to serve. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized the same principle. In the beautiful prayer where he's speaking to the Lord, that I am not a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, or a Shudra. I am not a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprast, or Sannyasi. I do not care for any of these. My only true eternal identity and my only real aspiration is Gopi Bhartur Padakamala Yora Dasa Dasa Das Anudas, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. That's all. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was an ideal grihastha. And later on, he became an ideal sannyasi. But he taught us that we must, according to our varna and ashram, execute our duties perfectly, but not for the sake of anything except pleasing the Lord. Atapum beard vijastrestas varanashrama vibhagasha svanustatasya dharmasya samsadir haritoshanam. Whatever our occupation or spiritual status in society may be, the only success of life is if we please Krishna. There's nothing else. Anantacharya explained the essence of bhakti to this devotee. And when the sannyasi heard this from Anantacharya, he said, I'm going to render menial, humble service to my Guru Maharaj. And if I'm not allowed to carry his palanquin, then I'll throw away my danda and burn all these saffron clothes. Hare Krishna. But I believe my Guru Maharaj will allow me to serve him in this way. When Anantacharya was very old, and it was imminent that very soon he would depart from this world, his loving disciples gathered around him. And he gave many instructions. But one of his last instructions, very highly celebrated by the followers of the Sri Sampradaya, I would like to repeat for my own purification and for the well-being of all of you. He cited a story from the Upanishads, wherein Sonak Rishi was explaining the power of association. There were some highly religious people treading the spiritual path when on pilgrimage. As they were traveling through a forest, there were heavy rains. In those rains, they needed a place for shelter. The only place around was the house of a hunter. The hunter was gone. He was out hunting. So they remained under the shelter of his home. But there was a parrot that happened to be living in that area. And that parrot kept speaking horrible, critical, mundane words. Very abusive words. So much so that they couldn't even tolerate being near that parrot. So even in the rain, they left. But to their dismay, wherever they went, the parrot followed them and was just speaking abusive, harsh words. And devotees don't like to hear these things. So finally, they came to the house of one of their friends who was a great devotee. And at that house, there was another parrot. And that parrot was speaking so sweetly about them, and speaking so sweetly about Krishna and Krishna's names. So the other parrot, the dirty parrot, flew away, because this was the domain of another parrot.
Hare Krishna.
So Sonak Rishi, he described, this is the power of association. Those two parrots had the same mother and father. They were the same age. They were coming from the same background. One parrot, due to association with Hunter, was speaking all harsh, abusive words that hurt people's hearts. And the other parrot, who associated with devotee, was speaking very pleasing, very sweetly, and very uplifting words. This is the law of nature. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, Rishabhdev has said, Mahatsevam dwaram ahurava muktes, tamodwaram yoshita sangi sangam, mahantaste samachita prasanta vimanya vasura dasada voje. That when we associate and serve toward great souls, then mahatsevam dwaram ahurava muktes. The doors to liberation are open wide in our life. The doors to the highest perfections stand before us. Tamodvaram yoshita sangi sangam. But when we associate with people too much addicted to illicit sexual activities, and egoistic, materialistic acts, then the doors to the lowest, darkest regions of ignorance are opened in our life. Therefore, if we want real peace, real happiness, and real spiritual prosperity, sadhu sangha, sarva satrakoi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it is the verdict of all the scriptures that there is nothing more valuable than association of devotees. Lord Kapila Dev has said that the same attachments you have for the things of this world, if you just transfer that attachment to a great Vaishnavas, that will open the doors to the perfection of life. That is where we will find Krishna, in attachment to the service, to those who have pure hearts, to those who are longing for Krishna. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam declares that greater than elevation to the heavenly planets, greater than mystic perfections, greater even than liberation itself, is one moment's association with pure devotees. That is the power of association. Because what we become, what we associate with. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he has written that the purpose of his traveling around the world so many times and establishing temples is simply to give the people of the world the opportunity to associate with devotees. Because that association is our shelter. It is our hope. It is our most profound and intimate connection to God. That is how the Lord has planned it. Anantacharya, he emphasized this principle just before departing from this world. If you just keep yourself in the proper association, you will go back home, back to Godhood. Srila Prabhupada said, if someone simply does not leave this Hare Krishna movement, it's just a matter of time till they will go back home, back to Godhood. That is the power of association. Not only take association, but as a service, to be that association. So, Stoka Krishna Prabhu, I want to speak to you how proud and grateful we all are to you. Even in a situation that appears to be like a deathbed, you are showing us such beautiful Vaishnav qualities, giving us your wonderful association. We have seen this with many devotees. Even when they're dying painful deaths materially, they're simply giving inspiration, faith, and joy to other people's hearts. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed in that way. My Lord, I am yours. You can do whatever you like with me, but I am eternally the servant of your servants. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi. Yadubar Prabhu, would you like to speak some words?
I tried to say no, but... I can just say in my own life, this is my reason for being at in Chaupati Mandir, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, for the association. And somehow or other, I was speaking the other day to devotees that if I have any quality at all, is that I find it very difficult to live outside the association of devotees. We have tried over the years. It doesn't work very well. I remember in Calcutta Temple, it was the very, very early days in Albert Road. We had gone there on the request of Gurudas and Jamuna Prabhus from Vrindavan, actually. We left just before, some weeks before Janmasthami, on their request to do a Vyasa Puja book for Srila Prabhupada. This was 1971. And it was quite chaotic in the temple, to say the least. Devotees were in a new atmosphere. Of course, India, many had been there for some weeks or months. Very few had been there any longer than that. And there was quarreling in the temple, and the physical layout of the temple was very, very difficult. The ladies had to walk through the bathroom to get out to the temple. So it was quite awkward for everyone. And therefore, there was quite a bit of quarreling. So Srila Prabhupada was coming, and we all placed great hope in that, once he came, that everything would be fine. So he did come, And there was a ishtagosti, because we wanted to tell Prabhupada the difficulties that we were having. So Prabhupada came, and we all came into his, he was there in his room, and he called us in. This was to be our big chance to get all our difficulties out on the table. So Prabhupada sat there, and no one said a word. We just sat there, completely satisfied in Srila Prabhupada's presence. And finally one lady, she said, actually, Srila Prabhupada, in Krishna consciousness, there are no difficulties. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you have understood correctly. So actually, in Krishna consciousness, there are no difficulties, because there may be difficulties externally, but internally, we don't see them as such. Everything is actually wonderful. So just after that, we spoke to Srila Prabhupada, Vishakha Devi, my wife, and I, and we asked him about living outside the temple, because there are so many difficulties. We brought it up again. So Srila Prabhupada looked outside the window of the Calcutta temple, and he said, isn't it nicer to be here than out there? And I had to admit, yes. Because who would know where we'd go in the streets of Calcutta? So thank you very much for providing a haven for us, and actually a haven for so many devotees. So many devotees around the world think of this temple as a safe haven for Krishna consciousness. And please continue to provide that shelter. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When I hear these stories about these great souls, I just realize just how far from the goal I am, and really how much work I have to do. It just becomes a huge mirror of my own deficiencies and my own inadequacies. Sometimes I even become frightened, because I realize that there's no possibility to come even close to some of the qualities of these great personalities. But Srila Prabhupada explained that, you know, Krishna consciousness is a process of purification, and purification doesn't always work according to, usually it doesn't work at all according to how we expect it to work. But it's enlivening to hear what is actually, you know, true devotional service and qualities of great souls, because it just shows the beauty of devotion, and devotion is really beautiful. And people in the material world are glorifying others by some expertise in a particular field, or some ability to accomplish things, or some personal attribute or quality they may have. But really, it's just, it has no taste. It's just, there's nothing really satisfying. But devotion is so beautiful, and when we see the qualities of great souls in their devotion to the Lord, we realize that this is something that it just charms our heart, attracts our mind. But at the same time, and personally, I feel so, it's like impossible to achieve, but yet it's such a wonderful, wonderful expression of something that is so glorious and so wonderful. And of course, hearing His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj always speaks on personal qualifications and how important they are as the foundation for devotional service, because they actually are devotional service in and of themselves. And to emphasize and to develop these qualities is, and to accomplish any small, insignificant success within developing these qualities is a great achievement, because it makes devotion so wonderful. So hearing these lectures of these great souls and how wonderfully Maharaj is able to bring these points across in such a clear way that it actually glorifies these personalities to a wonderful degree, that we can actually appreciate these personalities who have dedicated their lives in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't really know what to say. I'm usually humbled by such lectures. I want to hide after I hear, because I realize that, you know, the first quality was the crane, and I realized I couldn't get beyond the crane, because there's kam, krodh, lobha, moha, matsarya, and mudda, they're all there, and big spots. And so I have to work on the crane. So even to execute devotional service really means to be free from these things. To really be free from these things. But Lord Chaitanya is so kind. And Lord Nityananda is so kindly taking Lord Chaitanya's mercy and making the process of Krishna consciousness so readily available for anyone and everyone, that we get a chance to engage in devotional service, although we still are so much covered by so many, what we say, anarthas or disqualifications. If we can just continue to stay in the process, I think Maharaj mentioned in his lecture that if you just stay eventually, then throughout your whole life, that is the qualification for achieving the complete mercy of the Lord, and somehow our persevere in one's devotional service to purify our hearts and to render devotional service that is actually meaningful. Sometimes we see that, I remember back in the old days, we were overwhelmed by personalities who came to Krishna consciousness who had such wonderful abilities to do things. They had such great talents, or their talents could be used to spread Krishna consciousness in such a wonderful way. And we were appreciating that, but sometimes we saw that the personal qualities that was necessary for to sustain that person in devotional service always took a back seat to their ability to perform activities in, what we say, doing things. And after a while we learned that actually really it's not so much the external, but it's really the internal that really counts. If both are there, then it's wonderful. Then it's really glorious. Then Krishna is glorified in so many wonderful ways. But really, it's the internal qualities that are the foundation for everything. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains in the 13th chapter the 20 items of knowledge. And I was amazed that when he lists the 20 items of knowledge, the first item is humility, and the second item is pridelessness, and the third item is nonviolence and tolerance and simplicity. These things that are considered qualities are considered items of knowledge, transcendental knowledge. So Krishna shows what's important in devotional service, a person's qualities. So as Maharaj mentioned, that we want to get away from the the dark parrot, the parrot that is always harsh and critical and speaks all kinds of nonsense, and come to the parrot that speaks wonderful, sweet words and glorifications of the Lord and is inspiring us in our spiritual life. So when I come to Chaupati, I feel like I come to the nice parrot, because I always get so much inspiration. And in that inspiration, I'm seeing that what is the standard for devotional service, and trying to also come up to that standard also. So I thank you very much for serving so nicely and so inspirationally in your devotional life, and hopefully I can learn more and more from your association. And of course, from the association of the great souls such as Yadavar Prabhu and His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. So I hope when I leave here, I'll become a little bit a better parrot. I'll have some more better qualities or better opportunities to serve Srila Prabhupada and to serve the Vaishnavas in a more pleasing way. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Yadubar Prabhu, Chandramali Swami Maharaj. Now I request all the assembled nice parrots to chant the holy names of Lord Krishna and Sri Radharani with great enthusiasm and devotion.